Morning. It is a great blessing to be here and spending this Sunday school with you. I pretty much want to give you a report of how the things are going in South America, especially in Ecuador, in our country. And I'm very thankful for all your prayers. I know that Pastor Ben gave a little report of his trip to Ecuador last week, and we really enjoy a great time. That was a wonderful class on men and ethics, and we are very thankful for the opportunity you give to your pastors to go down there and giving us all that time and knowledge and serving us. We are very thankful for that. So I want to share with you some pictures, and I hope this could be a great encouragement. Sometimes we are not completely sure of what is happening or what is the influence of a church like this in other churches. And I want to show you that, and I hope the Lord will help me to give you an overview of what is happening, not just in Ecuador, but through Ecuador to different countries in Latin America. So this is my little country there. Ecuador is in the middle of the world, literally. We are every day at 6 a.m. It's the morning, and 6 p.m. is the evening. So nothing changed. I feel a little weird here when everything is very like the day at 6 or 8 p.m. It's like where I am, right? In our country, it's always the same timeline in that sense. And I had the privilege to grow up in a little house, in a house in a farm, 1 hour to one of the big cities in Ecuador, and 3 hours and a half from Guayaquil at the south, and 3 hours and a half to Quito in north. So I had the privilege to grow up in a Christian family. And my parents were the first members of a church, the church where I grew up. In 2010, I had the privilege to be called as a pastor in that church. But then, because of Reformation and some of the doctrines, I decided with my family to resign the church and move into a city in the north, call it Santo Domingo, trying to keep the unity in the church and try to be faithful to what I, at that time, understand as what the Lord was teaching me. So I moved to that city, 1 hour from the place that where I grew up. And the Lord has been so great with us. We began a church in 2014, called Iglesia Bautista Gracia Soberana, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. And we began in a little place with maybe 8 or 10 people there. And that was a wonderful time, beginning every Sunday with the happiness of could preach what we understand of what the Bible said, and trying to teach all our people from the beginning in our faith. So that was a delightful blessing. So we were there like maybe 1 year or 8 months, and then we moved to a school that was... the owner of that school, it's a member of our church, and he said, "Pastor, we can save some money if you can just come and gather with us in the school, and we can do something there, so you can gather in there, and maybe we can save money in order to buy a place in the future." So from 2015, we moved to that place, and that is the place that we're still there. The Lord has been so wonderful. Seeing many people coming to the Lord and some people coming to our church because of our faith, and we are very thankful for that. 3 years ago, we ordained the first three deacons. That's the three deacons we have in our church. They're wonderful men that they're saving, helping us a lot with all the benevolence and all the things around, the need of the people. They were a key. People in the time of pandemic, the things were really, really bad in Ecuador, cities closed and nobody could be in the street and things like that. And actually, you can imagine like a little country with just three international airports. If somebody comes from outside, being there and then moving to the inside the country, many provinces and cities were with COVID. So that was really bad. And at that time, these three men were, having food and sending to the houses of our brothers. And, that was a great blessing to see them doing that in a practical way. In 2015, we began to receive the Taylor and Ariel. We were coming every year, maybe 2 or 3 weeks per year, helping us, being with us. Taylor was at that time as a student of languages. He was working with a specific tribe of our Indians in that city. So he was doing a studies there, and with a missionary heart. That's the reason he was studying that language. And then once he said, "Pastor Jorge, I want to help you. I don't know how to do it. I really want to be a missionary." So he was coming every year, the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then 1 month, 2 months. And then in 2020, he moved with his family to our country in order to help us with a project that we have in our church. Call it the pastoral school. And so he's right now living there with us. In July last year, I had the privilege to ordain him as an elder in our church. All the church recognized him as a gifted man, as a man of God. And that was a great privilege to see that. I remember when Taylor first came to live with us. And I said, "Brother, I know that the church loves you. And I don't want to push you. I know you are here because you want to help us. And I'm really glad about that. And I want to, you know, protect your heart on that. I don't want that you feel like we want that you stay." And he said, "Brother, I really appreciate it. I will be praying for that." And in November 2020, Taylor he flew to the United States. And I asked the church if we can do like a nomination to know how many people recognize him as an elder. Just to know and to send or say something to the church that sent him. So that 100% of the church was really sure that he was a man of God and we really want him with us. So I sent a letter to the Pastor Jeff Johnson in Conway, Arkansas, saying, "This is the last time Taylor will be with you." I'm kidding. That's not what I said. But I said, have been a great blessing to have Taylor with us. Thank you very much for that. And I want to let you know that the church is seeing Taylor as a gifted brother, and we really want him as an elder. And so the church was really happy. In July, the next 7 months in July, they sent two of the pastors of the church to be there in the ordination of Taylor. And that was a wonderful, you know, time for the church and for the gathering with all the churches in our association, coming and seeing what the Lord was doing in Taylor's life and in our church life too. So through our local church, we have been working in some different ministries. And I want to share with you especially one of the ministries that we really love. It's the pastoral school. And this pastoral school have been in our heart and in my heart since 2012. When I began to give some classes to a young man, you know, living with us and trying to teach them. Then that changed a little bit. Then I opened the opportunity to invite people to come to our church every month. So the people in our church was receiving them. And they spent with me the whole Saturday teaching about different things, systematic theology, but especially confessionalism. And why we need to be a confessional church in that sense. So that was a wonderful time. We did like 14 or 15 modules with them, coming just one day, you know, but the experience for the church to receive these people that come in from outside and for us to spend time with them and feeling all that, you know, love, fellowship together, that was a blessing. But in 2020, when Taylor came, we changed a little bit the way that we will try to do this ministry. And we changed for something that we invite people to live with us for 3 years. And we begin with these three families coming in 2020 to live with us in Santo Domingo. And they came from different cities in Ecuador. Dennis, the one there, and Jose, the one in down. They are from Guayaquil, that is the circle in the south. And Oscar, he's from the north. So these three families came and lived with us for three years. And we spend wonderful time with them, teaching them every day from Tuesday to Friday, 8 to 12 or 1 p.m. Especially Taylor was doing a lot of working with them, teaching them. And we spent 3 wonderful years spending time every morning with them, living with them. They come in with us to the different mission trips and to the seminary classes and to spend time with pastors. So that was a wonderful time together. In 2022, we have the privilege to graduate the 3 of them from the pastoral school. And that was a great rejoice in our hearts and the hearts of our church, because we receive them. And sometimes, you know, the way that we are receiving people in the pastoral school is not for normal application or something like that. We said it's for the providence of God, right? We are just in contact with many people. And some of the people, because of the Reformation and begin to understand the doctrine of grace or ecclesiology, some of them had some problems in their churches, so they decide to resign sometimes, or sometimes the church split because of doctrine, not directly in our contact with us, but when that happened, they contact us to talk and to receive some advice about it. And that was the case of Jose and Dennis. They used to be part of a church that began as a something that happened in the university, like a Christian crusade, something like that, preaching in the campus. And then all these people that become believers, they said, well, we need to gather in together. We need to be a church. So they began a church, and they do not have a like clear doctrine or something like that. And when the time was passing, that began to split the mind of them. One of them thinking on, you know, that the salvation could, you could lose your salvation and things like that, and the other one preaching about the election. So in one moment, that was like one weekend preaching something and the next weekend preaching another thing, and the people was beginning to fight about that. So I recommend them, brothers, the church need to have an identity, so it's important that you can learn what the two positions said, and then you need to make a decision, and you need to be sure that not everybody will be happy with the decision, but it's what is need. So they decide to be an Armenian church. So these brothers become without church. And I invite them to come and live with us in Santo Domingo, knowing that they were gifted brother. Dennis used to be the pastor in that church. And so we spent time with them. Oscar, the other student, he was like a leader in his church, and his church was changing his doctrine, and I had the privilege to help him with that. So he came to, and when he finished and he graduated, we sent him back to his church to become a pastor. The church recognized him as a pastor. So this is them with their families, Taylor and Ariel, my wife and I, and our students. So when we finished that that time with the students, Oscar was sent and returned to his church, and Taylor and I had the privilege to preach in his ordination and help him in the ordination. The church asked us to be part of that because they were without pastor at that time. So we had that privilege, and now Oscar is the first pastor in his church, and we are very, very happy about it. But what happened with the other two? Well, in April the 2nd this year, we have the privilege with Taylor to send 3 of our men, 2 of them, the students, and 1 of them, a brother that is a graduate from the Seminary of Ecuador, we send him to work with different groups that we are hoping that they become churches in the future. So this is the 3 men, Taylor and I. That was a wonderful day to see all the process and to see these brothers learn how to preach. Jose, he was preaching for the first time in our church, and that was a blessing then to see him. Sometimes I talk with our brothers in the church, the members. I said, brother, what do you think about Jose, for example? And they said, pastor, in the beginning, that was really hard to listen to. But then we are really happy to see what the Lord has been doing with him. And it was wonderful to see the church recognize these 3 men and voting in order to send them as gifted brothers to work with these three missions that we have as a church. So this is the three of them with their families. So the first family, Jose and his family, we sent him to Manta. Manta is a city in the coast of Ecuador, and it's maybe the third or the fourth city in importance because I've been growing a lot in the last years. And Jose was sending there. This is a picture from last week. It said Reformed Baptist Mission of Manta. And this is, we just, it's 1 year since the first time they gathering together. And the history of these brothers, it's amazing. Because of the pastor school time when we receive people from different places, I spent some time with brothers from this city that the church that called me to help them, it's a church that used to be part of the church that I used to be in the past, before to be a Reformed Baptist. And this pastor say, Jorge, I am leaving to the U.S. He was a missionary. I need some help in order to put some order in our church. We need to call the first elder. So I tried to help them. They do not become a Reformed Baptist church, but they trying to put everything in their ecclesiology in order. And one brother, Juan, he was happy for the process, but he said, Pastor Jorge, I want to tell you this. This church is not becoming a Reformed Baptist church, and I cannot anymore with my conscience about that. So I will try to do something in my home or go into another place because I really want to be faithful to what I understand. So 3 months later, he sent me a picture one Sunday morning. And there were like 25 people sitting in his living room watching a video, like a TV, and that was our service of Lord's Day morning, and I was preaching that day. So he said, I don't want to push you, but I want to let you know that here there's a people of God that is thirsty, and we are praying that the Lord could help us. So that was that day, and then 2 or 3 months later, they sent a letter to a church asking if we can help them, you know, to become a church. So I was going every other week to Manta. That is 4 hours from our city. So when we finish our service on Lord's Day in Santo Domingo, I take my car and go into to Manta, spend with them, talking to them, you know, discipleship them. And Jose was going with me as a student. So then I said, you know, because some of the working of the ministry was multiplying, so I said, Jose, could you go there and stay with the brothers? And said, yeah, Pastor, I can do that. So then they asked if we can send Jose, when they know that Jose was graduating and finishing their studies, could you send Jose to teaching us and to be with us? So Jose was sent to that place, and right now he's working as a gifted brother from our church, helping them, and this is something that we're trying to explain them. He's not the pastor there because there is not a church yet, but he's a gifted brother from our church, and we're hoping that when that group become a church, if they want, they can call him as a pastor. So we're trying, you know, to put all that lines the more clear we can in order that the people could understand all this process. So we're very happy about Jose. That was last week. Pastor Taylor was there in the first year of that picture gathering together. What about Dennis? Dennis was sent to Colombia. That city, Pasto, in Colombia, it's just 2 hours from the border from Ecuador to Colombia. And so he's there because in one of the classes of the seminary, we received a brother from Pasto from this city, and he said, Pastor, I have a problem. Okay, tell me your problem. He said, I am Reformed Baptist, but I am an elder of a Presbyterian church. And I said, you really have a problem, man. So, and I said, why you're doing that? And he said, well, they know what I believe, but the pastor said, no, it's not a problem. You can be here. You will not be teaching that issue, you know, things like that. And I said, brother, maybe that will become a really serious problem. If you're an elder, you know that they have this distinction that they, not everybody teach all the time, but you know, but still they're elders. So when we talked, he resigned to the ministry. And I said, you need to talk to the pastor. And I said, Pastor, I, you know, I, I love you. I want to do the things right. So, but I cannot be anymore like being serving here as a pastor. I could be a member here if you lend me, but I cannot be a pastor. But that was a miracle that the pastor said, brother, I know that, and I will let you not just resign the ministry, but if you want to go and you can encourage the people that have Baptist convictions here, they can go with you too. I said, wow, I imagine many, you know, possibilities, and that was not one of them. But so he was there, and now he was there saying, well, now we are here, 30 people with me, but I need some training, what we will do. So, and I said, well, we have a brother in our church that is a gifted brother, and we can send him as whilst you're here with us. So Dennis was sent to that place. It is a wonderful people there, you know, 30 people around that, gathering every Lord's Day and in the midweek, praying and hoping to have a Reformed Baptist Church there. So we are very, very encouraged with all of this. We send another man, Roberto. He was not a member of our church before, but he became a member of our church, and he's a graduate from Confessional Baptist Seminary of Ecuador. And I encourage him to take care of a group of people in Quito. Quito is the capital of Ecuador, and there is non-Reformed Baptist churches there. So we send him, and right now they are gathering around 70 people every Lord's Day. They are, you know, going through the process. We are trying to use a very simple process that comes from our confession. We understand that in order to have a membership, the people need to be a believer and then volunteer, understanding what we believe, and they want to be part of us because they understand what we believe. And then, you know, have this engagement with them, among them, and with the Lord. So we are trying to, in all these missions, to do these three steps in order to help the people to go from one step to other in order to finish with the formalization of that membership and the beginning of the church. So we are doing that in Quito. Quito was the first mission that we have in that sense. And we are hoping, God's willing, in September, that mission will become a church. And we are hoping that the church, maybe when they become a church, they can call Roberto as a pastor. He's a very gifted brother, and we love him very much. Right now, we have 5 more students in this new process of the pastor school. And we are happy to receive them and spend time with them again. So there is Rodrigo. There's the one over here. Rodrigo, Carlos, Pablo, Oscar, and Stalin. The 5 of them came in the same, you know, providential way. I was in Central America last year. I was preaching in a conference in a Reformed Baptist church. And during the break time, I was eating something, you know, with the brothers and having this fellowship. And then this young man come in front of me and said, Pastor, I want to talk to you. I said, yeah, sure. How are you? And he said, well, I'm from Bolivia. I were in Guatemala. He said, I'm from Bolivia. When I came from Bolivia to study in the seminary here in Guatemala, I become Calvinistic. So my church is not receiving me anymore in Bolivia. But then while I was here in the seminary moved in a more liberal way. So right now I am resigning the seminary and the church that I'm pastoring here. So actually I am with my family in nowhere, you know. So I use the magical words again. Come and live with us in Santo Domingo. So we help him to come to first to Bolivia to spend time with his family, and then he came to Ecuador, and right now he's there with his family. It's a lovely man. He's a very gifted brother, and we're happy to have him them. Carlos, the same. He's from Ecuador. Pablo, from Ecuador. This is Oscar from Pasto, Colombia. That's the guy that used to be our Presbyterian pastor. And Stalin, that we met Stalin last year in the seminary. He was working with a church from Quito in a very poor city in Ecuador. Actually, the city that was the focus of the earthquake of 2016. I don't know if you heard about that, but that was a huge earthquake in Ecuador. And one of the, you know, big damage of the cities was at that city, and he were going there. But then during pandemic, the church in Quito say, don't go anymore because we don't have the money and there's not people there and something like that. And he said, there is souls. I will not just go. I need to stay with them. So they said, if you stay, you're, you know, in rebellion against the Lord and us, and so you'll be alone. So that's the situation that we met him. He was alone. And so I invite him to come. He's maybe 60, no, maybe 56 or something like that. He was a little afraid, you know, of studying and all of that, but very encouraged to be part of a family in that sense. So this is the group that we are working right now. This is our classroom. This is Taylor Wall's guest room. Dr. Waldron knows that room. And we are gathering there every morning to teach them. This is, they are talking with Ryan Bush. This is the director of Heart Cry for Latin America. They are very supportive with us among all of that that we're doing with our brothers. This is the students with some of the pastors of our association, Pastor Rene and Gustavo. Fellowship time. This was a wonderful time together with the families. This is our home in Santo Domingo. We try to do that every other week, trying to spend time with them and their families, because we learned some things that maybe we could do it better from last time, right? We learned that maybe spending more time with the whites and trying to be more intentional with them will be better. So we invite a pastor from Colombia, Pastor Javier Martinez, and his wife. So she spent like 4 hours with the wife of our students, and that was a great blessing, talking about, you know, she's a missionary, so she was trying to talk to them how the life looks like in that sense. This is Pastor Javier Martinez teaching them. So in the providence of God, and knowing all this that is happening with our students and the pastor school, we decide to begin a project about dividing a land for the church building and for some houses for the students, because we are paying every month. The reason they can come and they can study full time is because we have churches that are supporting us with some offering every month, so we can give them something that they could pay, you know, the rent and some food. It's not a lot of money, but enough to live and to be there for just two years and a half or 3 years. So thinking on that, we said, okay, if we are paying like 1,200 or 1,500 every month in renting houses for the students, why we don't just buy a land and we pay the same thing to the bank or something like that? And God's will, we receive an offering, so we pay a lot of this land, and we are paying right now. But we have a project. This is some of the members of our church there. We have a project in order that we want to have the church building there, all the spaces for the fellowship as a church, but the housing for the students. So we are thinking in two buildings like this. We know this is a very long term for us project, but we are very encouraged to go behind this. And so this is two buildings like this with eight departments for students. So the top, the limit of our students will be eight at a time. Right now we are just five, and we're hoping always to have that number of students. But we are hoping to do that and to begin to build these buildings for them in the next year. So that is something for what we are praying, in order to make cheaper the support of the pastor school in the time, so we will not need, you know, all the money, because in one moment all of this will be paying, right? But we are hoping to have that in the Lord's time. So let me tell you about other ministry very, very fast. The Confessional Baptist Seminary of Ecuador is the affiliate seminary of CBTS in Ecuador. And I want to let you know some words before I show you some pictures. In 2015 or 14, I met Dr. Waldron in Colombia. I was just one student there, you know, there with a lot of questions and talking with him. But I remember two things very important. The first one was Dr. Waldron invited me to come and study in CBTS. That was, you know, that was a dream. That was something not in my mind. And he said, you can come, you can study, you know, at distance and all of that. And that was a blessing. So in 2015, I began my studies. But at the same time, as a good Latin American guy, I used my opportunity. And I said, do you can come to Ecuador? And this is something that I want to let you know. He don't knew me in that time. I was, you know, 8 or 9 years younger. I'm still young, but he say, yeah, I will consider that. I will talk to the people, to the board, and I will let you know. In 2015, Dr. Waldron was in my home. And, you know, maybe I was the only guy he knew in Ecuador. He did not know if I was kidnapping or something like that, and he will never return. But then he was there teaching for our people, and I remember listening to the report that he gave to the church that Sunday. And I was like, what? It's amazing to hear, you know, the humble. Everything that the students were saying yesterday is completely true. You know, I was amazed to see how somebody was saying, I remember his words, if I could be 15 years younger, I will move to Latin America and I will, you know, serve them because they're thirsty. And I was so happy and encouraged to hear that. So in 2016, we began an affiliate of CBTS in Ecuador, hoping to do a kind of self-support model that we can pay for the ticket of the teachers and trying to do something there. So that began in 2016, and that was a great blessing to have many of the teachers from CBTS, and including Dr. Waldron, Dr. Richard Barcelos, and others. And that was a great blessing. Right now, this is last week picture. I don't know if Ben had that one, but this is the students that were there. Right now, we are not just having the modules in Ecuador, but we are recording all the classes. And we have 120 students from 15 different countries. 16. I have two new students from Italy. I'm really excited. They're from Argentina, but they're there. And it's amazing to see all of that happening all around in that sense. So that was one of the classes with Dr. Sam Renahan. That was in December, I think. Because of this affiliate seminary, I talked with Dr. Waldron again about the possibility to have a seminar in Cuba. With nothing in my pocket, just, you know, a heart for them. I met some pastors in 2017. And I went there in 2018 with a desire to help them. And when we come back, Dr. Waldron was opening the opportunity with the board members to have another affiliate of CBTS in Cuba. And we're still giving classes there. The seminar in Cuba was... Pastor Jeff Johnson was a great blessing there. I remember going with Taylor. Taylor was, for the providence of God, that week in my home, the week that I was leaving to Cuba the first time. And he said, Pastor, can I go with you? And I said, sure, yeah, that would be great. So when we were together, and I was, you know, looking the place, that was a little building divided in the middle. One part was the church building, and another part was the house of the pastor there. And I said, okay, if we want to do something here with students and, you know, a dining room or something in order to have all the program, we need to buy another house. I know that sometimes my heart is bigger than my wallet. I pretty know about that. But I was looking around and said, okay, how much could be, you know, that or that? Just thinking, when you are thinking in aloud. And they said, well, could be something. So when we returned, I remember next day when we were in home, Jeff Johnson was calling us and saying, I want to know how was everything. I said, well, there is a lot of thirsty. There's a lot of people there willing to study. But there is, you know, a lot of problems. We cannot do the self-supporting model that we are thinking because they don't have nothing to give in that sense. So he said, and how much will be that? You know, every module or every, I don't know, all the amount. And we said that. And he said, and how much will be the house that we need for the pastor? That. And then he said, we will buy that. We will pay for that. I was like, I'm not understanding very well what you're saying. What? Yeah, I will pay for that. So they, for an offering that they receive as a church, they pay for the whole program there, and they bought a house for the pastor. So you can imagine for them, you know, like, do not having any connection, and then having all these blessings to have people like Dr. Waldron or all of them there, have been a wonderful blessing. I am in contact with them almost every week, and they are right now working in an association of churches, and they are like 20 something churches in Cuba. They are not just the churches that are working with us, but another churches, and now they are working together, and we are really encouraged about that. God willing, in July, Pastor Hector and I will go to Cuba, and Ryan Bush from Heart Cry, and we will have like a car. We're moving in a car in many cities of the island, having some time with the pastors and see how we can help them. So it is a blessing. The same thing in Brazil. We went in 2019 with Dr. Waldron, and then with Jeff Johnson. And the same thing, you know, people together, working together, and hoping to have something like that. And, you know, there is a need in everywhere. That's the thing. Every country have a need. But there is not every place is not in the same moment. That's the way I can explain it, right? When there is churches hoping to work with other churches, and they are trying to say, hey, we can do this together, and we can... That's when I think... There we can do something. And that's the reason we have begun different seminaries, affiliate seminaries in different countries, like the one in Ecuador, that was the first in that sense. First, Colombia, that was where I learned everything about the seminary. But Colombia, Ecuador, Cuba, Brazil, Mexico, and in September we are beginning in Costa Rica. And God willing, maybe next year we are hoping to have in other countries too, maybe Paraguay or Chile or Argentina, but I don't want to say nothing because Dr. Waldron is listening to me, okay? He's worried about that. But we are hoping, and it's amazing to see how these churches are working together and hoping to do more in that sense. And they're thirsty to receive our confessional background. Because this is the thing, it's not just theological information or education. Because there's a lot of seminaries in Latin America. But what is making the difference in that sense is we are talking about our confessional faith. So when we talk about our confessional faith, there's people saying, I really want to learn from our Baptist background, from our confession, from our way to understand covenant theology, ecclesiology, all of that. So the people that is studying with us is not just people willing to have some theological education. It's people trying to have this Baptist context and understanding of what we need to believe. And that's what we believe. That's the reason I have been thinking, I learned what is our legacy, our precious legacy. And that is what we are trying to give to our people in Latin America. Legacies, not just theological education. Because of the theological education, we saw the need to begin a house publishing, book publishing house in 2019. I was talking with Dr. Waldron again, and I said, Dr. Waldron, we need books. And his words were, well, I will support you. Let's do it. And then we began this editorial call it Confessional Baptist Legacy. And we are trying to translate to our world from our Baptist legacy. And we have four things in our vision. Number one, we want to translate books from the particular Baptist. Then, number two, we want to translate books about the particular Baptist. And then, from the heirs of the particular Baptist and books that influence the particular Baptist. So we're trying to be very focused. I was thinking Joel Beakey and other people have who translate them. But Nehemiah Cox and Benjamin Keach and others, we are the one that need to translate them. So we are working in that sense. I was showing to my mom yesterday. I said, when I came here the first time, I was like, oh, what is that? All that books. And I said, that one is in Spanish. That one is in Spanish. That one is in Spanish. Now seeing all that precious books in our language for our people. That is a blessing. And we are trying to do the things in a way. This is part of our understanding. That when our kids or our grandkids read our books, we not say, okay, my grandpa had a good heart, but this is a really bad translation. I would love that they could say, this is a great job. Now we need to do our part on that. And I hope that we are trying to reach that. So we have published more than 50 books in the last 3 years and a half. And have a blessing. This is something from Amazon from the beginning, since March 13, 2020 to May 28, 23. We have sold just in Amazon that amount of books and the same number in Latin America. Different, right? In Amazon, it's just for Mexico, Spain, and United States. But in Latin America, we have distributors in almost every country. So we are very, very happy about it. This is the top six of the books. The Man as a Priest in His Home, number one. Every month, it's amazing, the people trying to have this book. You know, there's a lot of books on, you know, a godly man or something like that. But this theological introduction and then all the application have been a great blessing. And I don't know, I have been teaching this class for maybe 5 or 6 times to different groups, hoping to, hey, we want to listen to the Man as a Priest in His Home, and I'm very thankful to Dr. Waldron. I remember writing him some emails saying while I was translating, thank you very much for this book. You have been a pastor for my heart while I was translating. Then The Mystery of Christ by Sam Renehan. We did a translation of the Second London Confession, a new translation, trying to be very, very careful and faithful to the original. So we take the facsimiles and we work on that. A Reformed Baptist Manifesto. It's a number 4. It's the book that we always recommend to the people. Hey, what book do you recommend me in our faith? That one is the first one. You need to read it and have been a blessing. And then other books like Better Than the Beginning and others. This is a screen of the Amazon. This is how that looks. All these books are from. This is what we have. Finally, in 3 years ago, we began an association of Reformed Baptist churches in Ecuador. Right now we are 6. We are planting 4 churches, and there is 2 or 3 churches that, God's willing, will be part of us this year. Have been a very slow, you know, step by step, but very happy to see all these churches moving in that reformation in a true sense, and we are working together. The seminary rests on these 6 churches. Every module, we give the food from the different churches. The churches divide the list of food that we will use in 5 or 6 lists, and they, you know, give an offering in order to have the food, all the food for the week. And so with what the students are giving, we are paying the ticket of the teachers and all of that. So we are very thankful for what the Lord is doing. And thank you very much again for the opportunity to have your pastors with us. The only one that we are waiting for is Pastor Dada Joe. We are waiting for him. But have been a great blessing to receive, you know, directly from you when you are, when you do not have your pastor here and he's somewhere. I can tell you that this, the Lord is using them and helping us to be faithful and to understand better our faith. And thank you very much for that. I'm looking forward to moving more and more in different places in order to help other people to have seminaries and to have this legacy in their hands. And thank you for all your prayers. It's always a blessing to be here. It's always a blessing to feel Reformed Baptist Church as my church too. And thank you for your love. It's a dream to have my mom and my family here with me. And she was, you know, very happy yesterday seeing, like, these people really love you. And I said, yeah, that is what looks like. Thank you. Thank you very much for everything. And it is a blessing to be part of this with you, because all of you have part with us in this ministry.
Thank you, Jorge. Let's pray and be dismissed. Father, we are so thankful to hear of the work of your Holy Spirit in our brothers and sisters in Ecuador, and especially in the Reformed Baptist churches there, and of the zeal and desire for the good of your churches you put in our brother's heart, Jorge. And we ask that you would continue to provide him with all he needs and grant him all your blessings as he endeavors to serve you there. Thank you for him. Continue to bless his zeal and grant him in all these things your support and your help and your strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.